On today's feature, we have someone named Lila, or some people may know her as Lady Lila, depending on whether or not you watched the movie or the comics. So these two versions, I'll start with the MCU version first, and Lila was featured in the latest Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 movie, where she is one of Rocket's friends who was imprisoned by the High Evolutionary, and she and her friends were used as experiments, which led to the results of Lila's biomechanical appearance in the movie. Though her appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy is prominent in Volume 3, fun fact, she was actually briefly referenced in Volume 1.
Yep.
Yeah, so in the mugshot scene where they're kind of giving a kind of like a quick bio in a way of each character, for Rocket, informed us of his companions. One obviously was Groot, but the other one was Lila.
How cute.
Yeah, which is really cool. And yeah, so that is that version. I don't want to get too deep and go into any spoilers of it, but hopefully this second version is a bit more uplifting and kind of gives you hope after seeing the first movie, or after seeing the movie. So this version is from the comics, and she goes by Lady Lila, who's described as Rocket's soulmate. She's the heiress to the largest toy-making empire called Mayhem Mechanics, and she resides in the planet Half-World. Her first appearance was back in 1982's Incredible Hulk number 271, and yes, that's it.
Yay! Yeah, they went on some like fun adventures together in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I forgot his name, but the Walrus character, he's also part of their group as well too. I didn't see the rabbit so much. I forgot her name. But yeah, the other rabbit character, it seemed like mostly it's Lila, the Walrus, and Rocket that go on adventures.
Thanks, girl, for this marvelous update on Lila.
You're welcome.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
The marvelous galaxy.
Disney, yeah.
Hi, and welcome to this week's Marvelous Galaxy of Disney. My name is Sean.
And I'm Alan.
And today, what we're going to do is, after we do our news, Alan and I have in secret picked our five favorite moms, or best moms, from anywhere within the Margal Diz umbrella. So they can be from Marvel, Star Wars, or Disney. We haven't seen each other's list yet, but once we reveal our list to each other, we're each going to choose two off that list, and those four will be the vote for this week for our Margal Diz Biz.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun.
In honor for moms, for Mother's Day.
Did you see your mom for Mother's Day?
I did not. I still need to call her.
Oh, what are you going to call her?
Wow.
I didn't see my mom either because the woman took off to Vegas today. So it wasn't by my choosing, but we're apparently doing a Mother's Day celebration at the end of the month.
Well, cool, that's party. Your gift to your mom is
she doesn't
not
have to see
you.
Me.
Yeah.
Best Mother's Day ever. My mom loved me. So real quick, to start our show, let's talk about our Margal Diz Biz from last week. So we asked, who should play Invisible Woman if Adam Driver is Mr. Fantastic? So our choices were Emily Blunt, who got 0 votes. Saoirse Ronan also got 0 votes, so they were not popular. I was surprised by this. Margot Robbie only got 20% of the votes, but Dakota Fanning took it home, son, with 80% of the votes. So it is final. Dakota Fanning is our wish for Invisible Woman. Interesting. I think our moms would approve. Well, speaking of moms, should we get into Parks and Rec?
Yes, great segue.
Well, it kind of works. We were there today.
True, yeah.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I mean, to start off with that, I guess, if you're ever at the parks on Mother's Day, just note that they do give mothers and women flowers during the day.
Yeah, and something great, if you're a mother at Disney at Mother's Day and your kids are being a brat, like the two kids in front of us, which weren't even that young,
yeah,
in Hyperspace Mountain, the mom told her daughter that she's being a bee and ruining her day. And I'm like, yeah. Whoa. But that's her right. It's her day.
Yeah, I would be like that, too. I'd be like, it's my day. You need to listen to me.
Well, and the teenage daughter was, like, sitting up on the rail and, yeah, like, doing all the things that younger kids do. And they, like, knocked into their mom at some point. So yeah. I don't blame her.
Yeah. It was also in the queue for space. So it's very tight quarters.
Yeah. Tight quarters.
Yeah. Speaking of tight quarters.
Oh.
Because if you're spending money, you might be tight on money, like
Stop
quarters
it.
And coins.
Stop trying to make this work.
But yeah, now it's not special to own any Galaxy Edge merch because it's now available on Shop Disney. So if you can't go to the parks, you have the chance to get them now on Shop Disney.
I think, I know I've said this before, but I think it is good overall that people have better access to this stuff, like if they live out of state.
Yeah.
It also cuts down on, like, people reselling items online for way more.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, it does kind of suck if you do have access to the parks, like, your items aren't as special. But
yeah.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. At least, though, we do get discounts if we buy it at the park.
Yeah.
And we don't pay for shipping,
True.
Which is nice. So that's kind of... Sorry for everyone else, but like the plus side of actually being able to go to the parks. But yeah, it's nice now that everyone has a chance to get one of these items.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm kind of sad about this. On the other flip side, we're not close to Hong Kong Disneyland.
Aww.
Yeah. So, you know, we can't go to that park, you know, as often as we would like to. But for those who are in Hong Kong and listening to this, hello. And check out the new Frozen ride that, or the Frozen Land, I should say, Arendelle, that'll be opening up in Hong Kong Disneyland. They just teased their new roller coaster that is going to open up in their park, which is really cool. It's kind of like their version of the Seven Dwarfs Mine Coaster at other parks.
Ooh, I love that ride.
Yeah, but it's Frozen themed, and it's called the Wandering Oaken Sliding Sleigh. So it's instead of a mine cart, you're in a sleigh, and yeah, you're just riding around this mountain. It looks like, which is really cool. So I'm excited for this. They didn't provide any like footage of inside the inside show ride part, so we don't have any information on that, but I'm looking forward to this opening up later this year, actually.
Yeah, and beware Hong Kong, if we play our cards right, we may be in your borders next year.
Yeah, watch out,
here we come. I just need to get, what was that again? Oh, a job.
Yeah, that would be nice to have.
What is that?
Well, I don't know how to segue to this, but Pixar Place, which is an area in Disney's Hollywood Studios in Florida, has reopened their Pixar Place area. I didn't even know it was closed, but it's reimagined and they have new space, a lot of like even like updated decor. It looks like they have references to A113, which is one of the rooms in CalArts that a lot of the animators have studied in, which is really cool. Some meet and greets as well. The big new one is Edna Mode, so you can meet Edna Mode now. It's the Edna Mode experience, actually, is what they're calling it. And you can also see Sully. So a lot of cool meet and greet areas, and yeah, just more space for things to do at the studios.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've decided my sister is, in fact, Edna Mode reincarnated, and I bought her an Edna Mode, like, engraved cutting board, and she said, like, she put it in her kitchen, and she uses it, like, every day. She loves
wow.
it.
Wow. She needs to, you need to get her the glasses and the wig.
Yeah.
Because she can use it for extended amount of hours, just like how the parks have extended their hours.
Stop it. Yes. That was a good one.
So starting soon, the parks will be getting extended hours for all of Disney World, I should say, all of Florida. So if you have a trip planned up for the summertime, double check the hour times because they might have changed since you last checked it. Also, like, early entry times have shifted as well too, so make sure to get that. But it's great because it looks like a lot of the hours were extended to a longer period of time. So for instance, Animal Kingdom, they open at, or they have opened at 9 a.m., but they extended to an 8 a.m. opening. So that's really cool. So yeah, check that out. And then also, in regards to talking about times, show times for Happily Ever After, their fireworks at Walt Disney World has also, that timing has also shifted as well too, to later in the day. Because, you know, summertime, we're there longer, the sun sets later, that has shifted as well, too. So previously, it was a 9 p.m. showing. Now that has shifted to 9:20, so only 20 minutes later. But yeah, that is actually effective as of now. So if you're going to the parks, as you're listening to this, check out that time. It's no longer at 9 p.m.
Cool.
Yeah, and that's it for parks.
That's it for parks?
Yeah, short and sweet.
Short and sweet. All right, let's move over to Disney.
Disney.
Disney. So, Mena Massoud, who played Aladdin, is not in a great light right now. Mm. He's more like Menema Messi.
Oh, no.
So he's actually apparently deleted his Twitter account because of a negative response he got from a post.
Wow.
So this came on the hind legs of somebody posted, "The Little Mermaid is tracking to earn $115 million on its domestic box office opening weekend. In comparison, Aladdin earned $112 million on its opening."
Oh, wow.
So they're comparing the live-action Little Mermaid to the live-action Aladdin. And what Mena decided to follow up with to this comment was, "Our film was unique in that audiences went to watch it multiple times. It's the only way we reached the billion-dollar mark with our opening. My guess is The Little Mermaid doesn't cross the billion mark, but will undoubtedly get a sequel." So people, I mean, it looks a little salty.
Yeah.
And people took it that way.
It's funny, too, because he says, yeah, we made more because people rewatch the movie, so he's saying less people watch the movie, basically.
Yeah, he's basically saying, like, less people want to rewatch The Little Mermaid. Mm. So it kind of implies, like, it's not as good. Like, everybody will just go see it once.
Yeah, but has he seen it?
No!
See, that's it. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are coming to, like, conclusions too soon for movies now. It's just annoying.
Yeah, and with Little Mermaid, it's speculated that people took this so to heart because of all the negative press, like with Halle Berry mm-hmm. being a POC or person of color, and with just kind of the negative that has come out. So now people are really, like, rooting for it to do well.
Yeah.
And, of course, like, a lot of people love Little Mermaid and mm-hmm. Ariel, so, like, we want it to do well just because we love our girl.
Yeah.
So, I'm one of those people. I'm not going to say anything until I see it. I really am hoping that it does well, not only because I want a quality movie for my girl. And I didn't love Aladdin live action.
You didn't see it twice?
I did not. I mean, it had some really good things in it. It just, I don't know. I've said it before, but, like, the genie is what bothered me most. Mm-hmm. Like, the added story with the genie seemed kind of Disney, the Disney Channel-ish.
Mm, okay.
So, I don't know. And it had good songs. And yeah. Some of the stuff they changed, I'm like, I liked it better, like, having Jafar as a big snake mm-hmm. instead of a big Iago in the movie.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I always hold my thoughts until I see the movie.
Yeah. And I only bring up Aladdin because Aladdin and Little Mermaid are my all-time favorites. So, I know I'm going to be more critical of those two because of my love of those movies. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Beauty and the Beast is up there, but I wasn't as critical on the live action because they were both really good.
Yeah. And just remember, like, these movies are also made for kids to enjoy as well,
yeah.
too. So, it's like you can't get too deep with movies sometimes.
Yeah, so yeah, just keep a positive outlook. I'd say don't even, what I try to do personally is I don't even read the reviews. I try to avoid them until I see it myself. So that way I'm not even tainted with like, oh, everybody says it's really good or everybody says it's really bad. Like I can make my own decision.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be seeing it opening weekend for sure.
And we'll give our review.
Well, no matter how you feel about that, something's been announced and I love this.
What?
So apparently, Jamie Lee Curtis is very passionate about a certain movie, and she even wrote a treatment for a sequel.
Okay.
She loves it so much. She wrote a whole treatment for what would Freaky Friday 2 look like.
Oh.
And I don't know how much they're actually using from her treatment, but Freaky Friday 2 is officially greenlit.
Nice.
And it will have Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis once again as the mother-daughter duo.
Wow.
There's also been a Lord of War. I have never heard of Lord of War before.
Me neither.
But apparently there's a sequel to that coming out with Nicolas Cage. There is. This one is crazy. Do you remember the movie Gattaca?
Yes, I do.
It's getting a sequel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That came out so long ago.
I know.
Ago.
Like, why now?
Also, The Truman Show is getting a sequel.
Okay.
And it looks like we're getting a few more Stephen King movies from under the Disney umbrella.
Wow.
So probably more of the adult side of Disney.
Okay.
And it looks like, I'm really excited about this, one of the movies we're getting is The Life of Chuck, which is based on a short story in Stephen King's anthology, If It Bleeds. And it's going to star two really amazing people.
Who?
Mark Hamill,
oh.
Luke Skywalker, and Tom Hiddleston, Loki.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So, yeah, I really think those two are powerhouse actors. They're two people, especially Mark Hamill. I've looked up to him all my life. I think he's an amazing person. I love the positivity he brings to the Star Wars community and how just of an open book he is with his fans. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for these.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love Freaky Friday.
Do you?
Yeah, I watched the Freaky Friday musical. It's really good.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's good in the sense it's very, like, not good. don't expect it to be, like, amazing, but it's just a fun, like, made-for-TV Disney Channel movie.
Okay, okay. Yeah. We also have one more based on a Stephen King adaptation of, it's going to be called The Monkey.
Mm.
This one. Some great people attached.
Okay.
So James Wan is set to direct.
Oh, I like him.
I love him.
Yeah.
He did the Conjuring movies, and he did the Insidious movies.
And Megan.
He's a master of horror. He's, like, on top of it right now.
Yeah.
And it will star someone we both find very attractive. Someone who was in White Lotus Season 2. Someone we saw a lot of in White Lotus Season 2, even though it was not real.
Mm-hmm.
Theo James.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah, lots of really exciting stuff coming up. Apparently, Taika Waititi is set to direct Scarlett Johansson in a new adaptation of Tower of Terror.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope it does well.
I know. But you know how I feel about Taika. I'm a big fan. I think he's really funny.
You are a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. Lots of cool kind of Disney related stuff there. I lost my page.
Oh no.
Where are we next? Give us a transition.
So the next piece of news that we have here, and it is a little sad because of the times that we are in. But there have been reports of a Florida teacher who has gotten into trouble because she has shown a movie that wasn't approved by, I guess, the school. And she's getting in trouble with it. And do you know what movie it is?
It was Strange World.
Strange World, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so her purpose of showing the movie is because the curriculum at the time was related to, like, earth science and things like that. But she's been getting in trouble by it because apparently parents were not happy because it featured gay characters in the movie. And apparently the parents of 10 and 11-year-old students did not like that. So the superintendent got involved and was like, I didn't approve this movie, but I'm just like, really? You can't, like, the thing, if you haven't seen the movie, yeah, it does talk about gay characters, but, like, it's not like, I'm gay, and, like, it's, you know, it's just, like, it was just very, like, blended into the movie and was just, like, very nonchalant. Like, they didn't make it a big deal because being gay should be normal.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of times you hear that gay people are trying to rub our faces in, or rub our lifestyle into people's faces, but no, we just want a lifestyle.
Yeah.
We just want the same as everybody else has, you know, with movies with us in it. We want to go out and hold hands with our partners, so it's not rubbing, it's just being.
Yeah. And this is at, I just want people to know where this place is, so, you know, if you want to take action, do so. she's teaching at Windy Water School, and this is in Hernando County, Florida. So it's just scary now in Florida, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And it's hurting the kids most of all.
Yeah, right? I mean, they just wanted to go and watch a movie, but, like, the parents had to make a bigger deal about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm sure there's somewhere out in the galaxy. Where this isn't happening.
Galaxy.
Galaxy. So, Cad Bane, the character who first appeared in the Clone Wars, he's a bounty hunter. He's blue with, I think he had red eyes, and he has, like, the cowboy hat. He made his live-action appearance in the Book of Boba Fett, and a lot of people were upset that he met his apparent death.
Oh.
Yeah. He got stabbed and left for dead in Book of Boba Fett. Sorry if that's a spoiler, but it's been out for like over a year.
Yeah.
The reason I bring this up is the same book, Star Wars Timelines, that we talked about last week with Luke Skywalker and his timeline, has also said a little bit more about Cad Bane that's given some people some hope. It said that he is out of action.
Oh.
Yeah, and people noticed that for characters who we know are dead, it said deceased, but Cad Bane is out of action.
Wow.
Some people have speculated, like, with him being an alien species, that I think it said that he has two hearts was one of the things.
Oh.
Or his organs are in different places, so maybe even though he was stabbed and what would be fatal to most, he's of a different build.
He's not like a vampire.
He's not like a vampire. So, yeah, that's something to look forward to because, he was a very kind of sinister character. He's kind of like what Boba Fett was, where he does whatever he needs to make a buck, but he's just really good at his job. So people were like, kind of like when Boba Fett died, that's it? That's how he dies?
He looks cool, too.
Yeah, he looks cool.
Yeah.
Well, here's something exciting.
What's that?
So, it looks like with our new Rey movie coming out in 2025, that even though he's dead, Luke Skywalker is going to have a big imprint on the story.
Ooh, cool. Cool.
So, it's been reported that Rey, we said this before, but she's starting her own Jedi Academy, and apparently what she's teaching from are the works that Luke gives her in The Last Jedi.
Okay.
He gives her, like, the pages that chronicles, like, the Jedi and how to use your powers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think what a lot of people are hoping for, and this is something that's being explored in, like, the High Republic, like, the really early era, is that maybe the Force isn't light and dark. Maybe there's a gray area where you kind of can use both sides.
Mm.
So that would be interesting if that comes out in these writings.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought that's where Rise of Skywalker was going to go, in that...
with Kylo? Or...
With Rey. Like her becoming gray Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially since they, like, showed her going through, like, the dark and light struggle and all that stuff was happening.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We will see.
Cool. And then what else do we got going on? We've got Dave Filoni news.
Yeah, Dave Filoni. So in the summer issue of Empire, Filoni was asked if he saw Thrawn as the big bad of the New Republic, and he confirmed that he is going to take a bigger antagonistic role in the New Republic. So we're definitely going to see a lot more Thrawn in that. And yeah, it's confirmed.
Yay. Yeah, and what Filoni really talks about is that Thrawn, you're not going to see him wielding a lightsaber. So he's set apart from other Star Wars villains in that he's more like Grand Moff Tarkin, where he's like a mastermind of war working behind the scenes. Mm. So that's what's going to set him apart from what we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
So yeah, after I've read the Heir to the Empire books where Thrawn first appeared, and I am a big fan of this character. I think he's a really cool character. I think he's a problem for the Jedi. I remember in the books he had a creature called a Salamiri, so I'm wondering if those are going to show up. I hope I'm saying that right. It's been a long time.
Not a calamari.
No.
No.
And they're like lizards that negate the Force, so that's part of how he is strong against the Jedi, is they lose their powers around him.
With my little lizard
with my friend. Little lizard friend.
So cute.
Say hello to my little lizard friend. And yeah, and then seeing the comics expand on him when they kind of brought him into canon, in that he kind of tricked the Empire into moving him up quickly and becoming a major player. So that's something to check out too if you want to know more about this character.
Nice.
Nice.
Yay. Well, that's marvelous.
That's marvelous.
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 So we got a little bit more news for you on next time we're seeing Vision. If you remember in WandaVision, a new Vision was created, because there were actually, technically there's two, because Wanda created one, but he couldn't survive outside of her little, I think it was called Fairview. And then a white Vision was created by S.H.I.E.L.D. And so that Vision is still out there, and we haven't really seen him since WandaVision. He'll be returning in Vision Quest, and it is said Vision Quest has finally gotten its time slot, and it's very specific, everybody.
Oh, okay.
Fav writes, it's very specific. It will come out between 2024 and 2025.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait. Yeah, that... Yeah, a year between, it's very specific.
Yeah, a year to 2 years.
Yeah.
So at least we're getting something. At least we know it's on the docket as is right now. I know there's been a lot of changes at Marvel, so hopefully this stays.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't get bladed and turn into longer and longer. Because I'm excited for this show. It seems like he's going to bring in some new characters in his quest.
Yeah. I just feel with all these release dates now, especially because we have like the writer's strike, I'm just like, it'll come when it shows up.
Yeah, I know. I'm not holding my breath for anything right now. But speaking of holding my breath so that the symbiote doesn't get inside me.
Oh, no.
There's been a little bit of news on Venom 3. People are speculating stuff.
Hmm.
So the working title for Venom 3 right now is Orwell. And the reason why people are talking is there is a Venom character named Orwell Taylor.
Hmm.
This is actually someone I'm not familiar with.
What?
I don't know all the Venom stories yet.
Jeez,
I'm reading through them
God.
As fast as I can. So he wants to kill Venom after Venom kills Orwell's son trying to escape, I believe, from the vault, which is a supervillain section. Mm-hmm. So in escaping the vault, he kills Orwell Taylor's son, and now Orwell Taylor wants revenge on Venom for killing his son.
Wow.
So people think that with it being called Orwell, this is obvious that this will be the new villain for Venom 3.
Interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting way to title a movie.
I know. Usually they don't give something away like that. Cool. So that's what we have for Venom 3. I found this little watch guide. I thought I'd throw it in there. So okay. This tells you what to expect from the Marvels, which comes out in November of this year. So it says here, of course you have to watch Captain Marvel, because that's the introduction of Captain Marvel into the MCU, and this is a sequel to Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
It says here that you also should be watching WandaVision, because that's what introduces Photon. You should be watching Miss Marvel, because that's what introduces Miss Marvel. And it says here that this is going to be a big continuation of Secret Invasion. So those are the ones that it's saying that you should watch. Beyond that, I'm trying to remember. It said that Infinity War and Endgame will be a big part.
Okay.
And then, surprisingly, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Hmm.
So Captain Marvel made a quick cameo in that, and it said that this may kind of continue that. Okay. So I'm wondering if we'll see Shang-Chi in the Marvels.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So it comes out November 10th, so you have plenty of time. Of course, I always recommend to watch just all the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Because they're all good.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, even my least favorite ones are still good. They are on Disney Plus. I've heard some people are watching them in the order of release, which you can watch through Disney Plus. Some people have found through Disney Plus you can watch them in timeline order.
Oh.
So technically, Captain America, the First Avenger, I believe would be the first one, because it takes place in the 40s, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then Captain Marvel, of course, takes place in the 80s. And then you'd watch, like, Iron Man and all those.
Okay.
So, but however you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder with people who don't have Disney Plus, like my parents, how they would enjoy watching, like, a movie like The Marvels. Because, yeah, I feel like that one is connected so much to, like, Disney Plus movies and other movies that hopefully they still make it for people like them.
Yeah, I feel like it's a hard thing to juggle because people like us who are so dedicated to the MCU want to have that continuity.
Yeah.
But how do you put that in for people who are more casual about it? So
we'll see. But yeah,
they've done a good job so far.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, because like when I tell my parents I'm watching a movie and then they're like, oh, should we watch it? I'm like, sure, if you want to, but like I'm not gonna tell them to like subscribe to Disney Plus and watch A, B, and C, because for one, they're not gonna subscribe, and two, they're gonna forget what movies or shows I told them to watch.
True.
Yeah,
true dad. Well, what's nice too is what Disney Plus has been doing lately is before Guardians, they put up little like vignettes of each character, so you get kind of a quick backstory.
I do like those.
Yeah. But speaking of Marvel, I guess because we're in Marvelous, Marvel put out a Happy Mother's Day guide to showcase some of their mothers.
That's cool.
So one of the first ones that they put here is Spider-Woman, specifically Jessica Drew. So Jessica Drew in the last few years had a bebé.
Oh.
And she's actually a really fun hero. I'm looking forward to the rumored Spider-Woman either show or movie. And I think what could be interesting is seeing, I think what she can bring to the MCU is seeing a recent mother trying to also be a superhero.
Because they're already superheroes as mothers.
Yeah, they're already a superhero as a mom, but she's a literal superhero too. But one thing that her comics do, for better or worse, is it shows kind of the gritty side. Because she has kind of a boyfriend who, because she's trying to be a superhero besides being a mother, he ends up like babysitting all the time. And it ends up kind of pushing him away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot of story there. And I think there's a lot of woman empowerment that Spider-Woman brings to the table. I also think there's the age-old debate that as a mother, if you're a stay-at-home mother, you feel like you're not doing enough to support the family by having a job. But if you have a job, you feel like you're not at home to raise your kids.
Yeah.
So I think she could be like an avenue to really embrace that age-old kind of conundrum that women have with motherhood. Another one that was highlighted, she's a little more popular because she had her own show, Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones.
And if you don't know, Jessica Jones is married to Luke Cage. So that was interesting watching the Netflix shows. I didn't finish the show, so I don't know if they ever do come together, but like they were both with separate people for a lot of the series. So I was like, are they gonna? But yeah, she's been a great mother. She kind of put superheroing to the side a little bit when she became a mother. She kind of lets Luke Cage take on that hat now. Mm. They did just do a really cool Jessica Jones story where Jessica Joneses from different multiverses are all coming together in hers.
Oh.
And somebody was apparently out to get her life because in their multiverse they never had the baby, so they're jealous.
Wow.
So I like Jessica Jones because she's kind of like the opposite of Jessica Drew. In that she gave up her superhero job to be a stay-at-home mom. So we get to see kind of both sides of that spectrum.
Nice.
Yeah. Another one that was highlighted was Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, she made her babies out of thin air. She wanted babies so much, she's like, screw the pregnancy. I'm just going to make it happen.
Wow.
So, of course, she raised both Billy and Tommy, who ended up to both be in the queer spectrum, and she has embraced them for who they are and been a very supportive mother.
Nice.
Yeah. Another one that I thought was funny that they highlighted her, I'll give the spoiler, she is not on my Mother of the Year list, Raven Darkholm, a.k.a. Mystique. The reason I think she's funny is she's actual mother to Nightcrawler, but a stepmother to Rogue, or surrogate mother, I guess you'd say, because she didn't really marry anyone. She's took Rogue in. She's a horrible mother. When she gave birth to Nightcrawler, she put him in a basket and sent him down the river.
Wow.
Because she couldn't hide him being a mutant.
Yeah.
So she didn't want to, like, raise him. And with Rogue, like, she tries to control Rogue's life so much. One time she, like, made herself shapeshift into a beautiful woman and come on to Gambit to prove to Rogue that Gambit isn't faithful because she's trying to get Gambit to sleep with her.
Wow.
So, yeah. I still like that she's highlighted, though, because she's a cool character.
Yeah.
I do love Mystique, but she's not a good mother.
See, your boyfriend is cheating on you.
With me.
With me.
Wow. This last one is cute. I like that they highlighted her because we don't always think of her as a mother because her tenure as a mother has been weird. Mary Jane Watson.
Hmm.
And the reason why it's been weird is her and Peter Parker actually had a baby in, I believe, the 90s. And then the baby kind of got written out of continuity for a bit.
Oh, no.
And then they ended up kind of bringing, her name is Mayday Parker.
Uh-huh.
Where we actually see her in Across the Multiverse. Or Spider-Verse.
Oh,
Across the Spider-Verse. So she is a baby with spider powers who eventually grows up and becomes her own hero.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think Mary Jane is a cool mom is she actually becomes a spinneret. And she loves her family so much, rather than watching them face danger, she goes out with them. And her and Peter Parker, like, build a machine that lets her kind of siphon some powers from Peter. And so they fight crime together in that multiverse. That's not the main 616 Mary Jane.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a cool mom.
Cool.
So I like that Marvel embraced moms. I like that they did so in a way that highlights their characters. And I think it was just a little fun to, like, go down that lane and look at these characters in a new light.
Nice.
Well, speaking of, should we get to our, I called it Mother's Mayhem.
Oh, I was wondering what that was. Okay.
Should we get to our little ranking?
Yeah.
So I do want to just say, though, we do appreciate our mothers. They are the reason we are alive. They're the reason we are who we are. This goes out to all the mothers out there. If you're listening, are just mothers past and present. If you have lost your mother, One of the sweetest things I saw today, I won't say who because I haven't asked for permission, but someone very close to me who lost their mother wrote a note to her to let her know how his life is. And I thought that was very sweet. I thought it was beautiful to, I believe that his mother's probably looking on and was able to see the letter. And I think it's a beautiful idea to keep his mother involved in his life, even though she's not here to physically be with him.
Nice.
So however you celebrate your mom today, whether it's a call, whether it's, you know, just thinking of her or being with family who knew her, all the love to everybody out there.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you go first. Who's your number five?
My number five is, I chose Grandmother Willow.
Oh.
Yeah. Just because, you know, she was kind of, like a lot of mothers, was Pocahontas's kind of like guiding light.
Okay.
And she was also sweet in the sense that she welcomed her and John Smith being together. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my number five.
For my number five, I chose... Alan's like, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to choose Marvel. I chose Jean Grey.
Okay.
And the reason I chose her is Jean, I think, is a beautiful mother. She's mother to both Nathan Summers, who's Cable, and she's mother to Rachel Summers, Prodigy. Oh, no, not Prodigy. I just forgot her name. Oh, whoa. Rachel Summers. And I like that we see her. She's a very challenged mother. She didn't actually give birth to Nathan Summers. Her clone did, but she took on the memories of her clone, and she just recently gave those memories back to her clone to share the motherhood. Mm. She loves her kids, even though they're both grown up when she meets them. So I just think it's a really cool way to look at a family not being a normal family, but still coming together.
Yeah. Nice.
Who's number four?
My number four is... Sarabi, and that's Simba's mom, if you don't know.
Oh.
I chose her because when Scar took over the Pride Lands, she stood up to him. She was like, yeah. Hey, you need to get your crap together and, like, fix this, because right now we're all living in squalor and suckiness. So, you know, rather than her just kind of, like, succumbing to, like, Scar's rule. So that was cool. I mean, you know, she didn't save the day or anything like that, but at least she stood up, which was really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how you were afraid we were going to have, like, the same moms, and so far we're very different. My number four, I chose Jumbo, who's Dumbo's mom.
I was going to choose her.
Oh. Mm-hmm. This one got me teary-eyed a little bit just because it's such a sad story, but I chose her because... when Dumbo was born, like, all the other elephants were laughing at him, and Jumbo, like, stuck up for her funny-eared son, who she just loves so much, and just seeing Jumbo and Dumbo torn away from each other, and Dumbo goes on a journey to get back to her, and he can't even see her, they only are able to touch Trunks.
Oh, yeah.
It's very sad and beautiful to see, like, how much they love each other, and this is how animals are in real life, too.
Mm-hmm. Number
three.
I chose Eudora, who's Tiana's mom.
Okay.
And I chose her because I like how she kind of encouraged Tiana, but also wanted to make, like, her, and, you know, and fulfilling her dream of owning her own restaurant. At the same time, she's like, but you also kind of, like, need to think about yourself and, like, fall in love or find love. So I love that. And, you know, she seems like a great mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number three is not Eudora, and it's someone that you probably knew I was going to pick. Scarlet Witch.
Yep.
For the reasons I already said, like, she wanted her kids so bad, she brought them into existence. I think this is also, like, a really cool metaphor for, like, she couldn't have kids physically with Vision, so she made it happen. Like, that's very much, like, an adoption story. But just the love and care she shows for her kids, and, like, the fact that she's so... open to them being LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think it's really cool. It's also a little selfish because I just love the character. And I love her kids, especially Wicked. He's so cool. But yeah, good mom.
Nice. My number two is... So it's Kala, who is Tarzan's adoptive mother.
Oh!
I just love how she was very... I mean, kind of like Scarlet Witch, where she was just like, yeah, this is... like, he's part of the pack, and you know that was a struggle with her husband. I forgot his name, but like even though he's like a different species, like Tarzan should still be part of, you know, our pack, our group, and I love that. So yeah, that's why I picked her.
Nice.
Yeah.
So far, we have none of the same. My number two is Shmi Skywalker. This is Anakin's mom, okay. Luke and Leia's grandmother. The reason I put her so high is because it's kind of heartbreaking to me that she was so even-tempered, she was so even-keeled. She knew she couldn't offer Anakin the best life since they were slaves. So when the Jedi came and said, we can show your son a better life, but we have to take him from you. I think he was 8 when they took him. And she, even though it broke her heart, she let him go. So
yeah,
I just feel for her, and especially seeing her fate in the second movie when she's killed by the sand people.
Yeah.
She's just a very strong woman, and she went through a lot to get Anakin into a better life. And then he turned into Darth Vader and killed a lot of people.
Yeah. Choices. So my number one is Mrs. Incredible.
Wow.
I chose her because she's like, she's a mom. She also fights full time. I mean, also with like Mr. Incredible, who I just didn't like him. I think it was in the sequel where he like ran off and like did his own thing and like became a superhero, and she kind of was left behind to like take care of the kids.
Yeah, he was even flirty with that other woman.
Yeah,
right?
And yeah. It's just like, so, you know, I respect Mrs. Incredible for all of that. And she can turn into a boat. I love that part. So she's my number one.
Wow. I'm surprised you didn't have my number one on your list at all.
Oh.
My number one is this. Mom doesn't even have a name.
Oh.
Bambi's mom.
Oh,
heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I chose her because the love and care she shows for Bambi, and she's just so earnest about teaching him how to survive in the wilderness. And you can really just sense that she loves her son so much, and she even kind of sacrifices herself to make sure he's safe. Mm-hmm. And, oh, Bambi's mom.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one movie I feel like I've seen before, but I also don't want to see it again because I know what happens.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just not.
So now what we're going to do is Alan and I are going to both choose two off our list that we want to put into the final vote.
Okay.
That is going to go up for Margal Diz Biz, and our listeners will vote on who's the top mom.
Sounds good.
So the first one I'm going to put in is Skylo Witch.
Okay, I'm going to just go down the list. I'm going to go with Mrs. Incredible.
Okay, and then I'm going to put in Bambi's mom.
And then I'll pick Kala.
Cool.
Yeah.
So look for that vote up today on Instagram, and let us know who you think is the bestest mom from the MGD umbrella.
Yeah.
Cool. So that brings us to our cover Disney, and then we'll get into our favorite moment of the week, and that'll be our show for today.
Nice.
So I thought it fitting with our topic today and with Mother's Day. There is actually a cover of the song Baby Mine from Dumbo. So this is the mom from Jumbo to Dumbo singing about her baby. But this is a cover by the great, the gay icon, the Winifred Sanderson herself, Bette Midler.
Okay.
So here's a little taste.
Baby mine, don't you cry. Baby, your eyes, rest your head close to my heart, never to part, baby of mine. Little one, when you play, pain they say, let your eyes baby of mine. If they knew all about you, they'd end up loving you too.
So did you like that cover?
I did. It made me cry.
I know, right? Cool. So that takes us to our favorite moment.
Yeah. Probably my favorite moment was today. So we came back from Disney just like an hour or so ago. But if you're there, you guys got to try this. It's the it's at the Churro Cart by Guardians Mission Breakout. It's, I don't, forgot the name, but it's basically, it's a churro with some, like, a blue kind of cream sauce, but there's these, like, freeze-dried Skittles on top, and I've never tried freeze-dried Skittles, and I was surprised, because they're actually really good. It's just, like, it's basically crunchy Skittles after they freeze-dry it, but it was delicious, so I recommend you guys go out there and try it. My favorite thing this week.
What was crazy about these Skittles is when they're freeze-dried, like, the white inside, like, explodes.
Yeah, out. They're, like, a little cracked.
Yeah, they're, like, if you eat, like, the dried wasabi, where it, like, explodes the white out like
that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that, but sweet.
Yeah.
It's because they're Skittles. my favorite moment is I went to a comic book store and I got another one of my covers. Yeah. I got the New Avengers, which features our characters kind of in shadow on the cover. I was so excited about seeing these covers. I accidentally bought the same one twice. So I gave that one away, the Infinity Gauntlet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I have about 5 out of 12 of the covers now. So I'm well on my way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't buy a second one of the same one again.
Yeah, hopefully.
This is, oh, by the way, sorry, going back to my churro story.
Oh, wow, it's all about you.
It's the Cosmic Disturbance Churro.
Okay.
Yes, at Terran Treats.
Yeah, and we saw another girl eating it, and she seemed to enjoy it.
Yes.
Just like we did. Mm-hmm. And they give you two.
Yeah, well, it's just a long churro, but they cut it in half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so but it's a good size.
I made Alan let me eat half of it.
Yeah.
I made him.
Keyword made.
Made.
Cool. Just kidding.
So cool. We look forward to you voting on the best mom. If you need something else to listen to during this next week, Kevin and I are on One Man's Worth Part 2 this week. One of the, in my opinion, best double episodes of the original X-Men cartoon in Solving for X. You can also find me on Words of the Witches, where we are plowing ahead through season 10 of the comics of Charmed.
Yeah.
Or?
And you can also find us for one more episode next week, actually. Yeah. It's going to be our last episode for Marvelous Galaxy of Disney.
No, no.
I mean, sorry.
No, no. This sorry. Show is not going anywhere.
I'm like auto talking for Once Upon a Cult.
There you go.
Yeah, that one.
You just scared so many people.
Yes.
Including a friend of the pod, favorite friend, Ren. Hey, Ren, we're not going anywhere. We did sorry. This to you once.
I'm sorry.
We're not doing this to you again.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, autocorrect, I guess. But yeah, Once Upon a Cult will be our last episode next week. So make sure to catch up before then, because we'll have our finale reunion special.
Yeah, there's only 99 episodes to catch up on.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
But yeah, next week, Rachel, Vicky, Alan, and I will sit down to take a look back at our show, talk about where some of these cult leaders we talked about are today, and just kind of put a nice little bow on the whole show of 99 cults that we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week for more Marvelous Galaxy of Disney news.
Yeah, we'll be back. We're not ending.
We're not ending. We will be back.